drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and a work-at-home mom of two. I would love to devote more time to creative writing, journaling, and blogging.
And I'm Abigail Creeves, a writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm also a work-at-home mom who is just beginning to learn the ropes of balancing a baby and everything else.
And you are listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. This week on Chasing Creative, we're talking about celebrating creative wins. So creative wins are those little moments, big or small, that just feel like something of an accomplishment when it comes to your passion projects or your creative life. And so often we realize that we don't slow down to acknowledge what we've accomplished and celebrate those things. So we wanted to dedicate an episode to that this week. So Abby, what are some creative wins you've experienced, no matter how big or how small?
Yeah, that was a hard question to answer, I think, for both of us, because there's not any really like enormous creative win that either of us could point to. Like, we've not published a book, we've not, you know, taken our creative project on television or anything like that. But we did settle on the idea that we have created this podcast and we've kept it going for 4 seasons. And we're, as of while we're recording this, at 44 episodes and counting. And I think that is a pretty big creative win.
Yeah, and it took us so long to think of this too, because we forget that the podcast is like a creative hobby for us, but it is. It's another outlet, and we're talking about creativity, and it's not something we have to do. It's something we want to do. So even figuring out the technology and launching this podcast probably should have counted as a creative win, and we just didn't think of it.
No. So if any of you are out there like, I don't have any creative wins, what do I need to celebrate? Really, really sit down and think about it, because there is probably a great big one staring you in the face that you don't even realize exists, like this podcast. So yeah, we were really excited to think about all of the guests that we were able to get to say yes to coming on the podcast. And Ashley, you mentioned having people who actually listen to us. Never in our wildest dreams did we think that people would actually download this podcast and look forward to it each week.
Yes, it is kind of crazy. And even having support, like hearing emails from people saying that they, you know, miss us when we go on breaks and that kind of thing, it's like, oh, people are actually like engaging with this podcast and listening to this podcast. And it's, I mean, obviously that was the goal when we started it. We didn't just want to record it to hear ourselves talk, but it does sort of feel like you're putting something out into the great void of the internet and you have no idea what's going to come of it. So even the small little success that we've seen feels pretty substantial to us.
Yeah, most definitely. So what other creative wins besides this podcast do you think you've experienced in life?
I'm sure there are others, like we said, like they're always kind of lurking and we just don't take time to acknowledge them. But what I came up with was writing for websites other than my own blog. So guest posts on various sites. And like right now we're both contributing to Hello There Friend, which is just a fantastic place full of really, really great writers. And I'm still sort of floored that I'm there.
And same.
Yeah, the essays there are fantastic. We'll link to them in the show notes so everybody can go read. And then the other one I thought of was when I very first started freelancing, getting paid to write felt like a big deal, even if it wasn't a lot per article. And at the time, that was a creative win. That's not something I would count anymore, because now I look at that as my job and not my passion project and not my creative outlet. But it really did add a sense of legitimacy to my writing at first. So that's what I came up with.
Yeah, I can definitely echo that last one. Getting paid for those first few articles that you ever get published online feels like, I don't know, like it's your birthday and you just got to blow out all the candles on an enormous cake. So that was always fun. And like you said, it kind of it's kind of devolved into more of a business venture now. Like, oh, you know, I need to get paid because that's how I'm going to pay my bills. Not quite as much of, I don't view it as quite as much of a creative win anymore, but it still feels good. So what do you consider to be a creative win these days? So getting paid is not it.
Yes. getting paid would be like a nice byproduct, mm-hmm. but it's no longer the goal for my creative work anyway. For my business, it is because, duh, it's a business. But for creative work, I have started, like, I had to think so long about this question, but I think it's anything that moves me closer to a goal, even if it's just such a tiny baby step. So, like, I wanted to set up a new personal blog for my writing, which I have finally done now, by the way, at ashleybrookswrites.com. And just getting that website like set up, which should not have taken that long because it's Squarespace, which is pretty easy to figure out. But just like getting it there and buying the domain name was a pretty big baby step for me. And I was like, all right, this is cool. Now I have a place to write, even though I haven't written anything yet.
It makes a difference. Yeah, I like what you say about it being a baby step, even if it's not like, if your creative goal is, I'm going to write a novel, writing that novel is not going to be the only creative win. Writing that novel is going to take a very long time, and you need kind of some little creative wins to recognize between here and there. So even, you know, writing an outline, writing a chapter, mm-hmm. figuring out how you're going to format it. I think all of those are little creative wins as you go down the line.
Yeah. And what is your definition of a creative win? Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah. I think anything that's been hard for you as an individual that you can finally conquer, whether that's like we talked about a few episodes ago about sharing your work, I think even convincing yourself to share something that you've created counts as a creative win if that's been something that's hard for you in the past, or mm-hmm. whether or not you convince yourself to go and do a reading out loud of something you've written or display your photography in an art show, even submitting something to a publication if that's something you've never done before because it scared you, I think that counts as a creative win too. It's not just creating the work, it's also sharing it or, you know, making it work for you that can be that creative win.
Yeah, I love that. That like overcoming your personal fears or your personal barriers to creativity is a huge win, even if on the outside it doesn't look like that big of a deal. Like maybe you submit to a publication and you get rejected and everyone else would be like, well, why is that a good thing? And you're like, but I submitted, like I did it. I put myself out there. So yeah, that's definitely something worth acknowledging and celebrating. I love that.
Yeah. So why do you think it's important to celebrate our creative wins?
I like kind of going back to that money thing, I think it's important to remind ourselves that our creative work has value, even if we are not getting paid for it. So getting paid is definitely something to celebrate, but even if there's no money attached to the work you're doing, celebrating seems to add value to the work that you're doing. If you're celebrating, it's acknowledging that you spent time and energy and put a lot of work into this project and that that is something worthwhile and valuable.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same. And it's also just a great way to mark something. So often mm-hmm. a lot of the work we do is really unremarkable. Like the everyday, you know, we cook and we clean and we feed babies and we do it all day long every day and we do it the next day. It looks just the same. And so even just taking the time to kind of mark a creative win can really set apart from the ordinary, whether it's something you've done for the first time or something you've done for the 30th time, kind of marking that and celebrating that, even if it's just for you and it's just for the memory of having accomplished that thing, I think is really important because creative wins definitely look different than the things we do every day, all day long.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's almost a way to encourage yourself too, because pretty much like unless you did something like really, really big, like you published a book or you landed a record deal or something incredible like that, it's probably not going to happen that anybody else will celebrate your creative wins for you. You're probably going to have to do that yourself. So it's almost like a way to encourage your own creative habit. And I really like that, like saying that it's a way to mark something and a way to separate out your creative life from all that other ordinary stuff that you do all day. Like, that's just such a great way to look at it. I love that.
And I think this can kind of tie back into finding your creative community as well. Like you said, it's so rare that anyone is going to celebrate your creative wins, but those are the people that are going to do it, if not you. The people who know that you're trying to work towards a creative goal, and the people who know that you are actually working towards that creative goal, and that maybe you met it. You met some kind of goal that you've been striving towards, and they're going to celebrate you and your feat just as much as you're going to. So I think that kind of being able to tap into that creative community is going to help you celebrate your creative wins and even kind of remind you to celebrate them when you don't think they're that big of a deal.
Yeah, this conversation really does tie back into our episode on sharing your creativity, because even if people know that you're working towards a goal, you will probably have to be the one to share with them your progress, or to share that you finally achieved that goal, or that you made baby steps towards it, because otherwise they're not going to know. And if you do have that creative community, they would probably love to rally and support you and help you celebrate. But you are not going to have access to that if you stay holed up in your comfortable private little world where you don't share anything with anybody.
Yes. And like we talked about in sharing your creative work, we don't know why it's so hard, but we just don't do it. And so kind of after that conversation, it encouraged me, even after my first essay published on Hello There Friend, I was like, you can share this. You can share this on your personal page and no one is going to say anything about it. And I did. I published it on my personal Facebook page and I got nothing but good feedback, as always happens. So one more vote for sharing your creative work, because other people really will read it and look at it and take the time to say nice things. They're probably not going to rip you apart.
Yeah, that's awesome that you shared that on your Facebook. I did pretty much the opposite. When Hello There Friend tagged me, I made sure that it was not showing up on my timeline. I think I might go through later and just like filter out who can see it. So like certain of my friends will be able to see it and certain friends won't. But we definitely reacted in the opposite ways there. You chose the better path, I think.
So I feel like there's a therapist meeting out there, Ashley, who would like to talk to you about, like, why won't you share this on your personal Facebook page? And maybe that's what we all need to do, is kind of take a little break and be like, why aren't we sharing this? Like, what is in our path stopping us from sharing or stopping us from celebrating our creative wins? So like, what kind of hang up do we personally have that's telling ourselves like, oh, that's not a big enough deal to celebrate? I think sometimes I get stuck in that rut. Like, oh, you know, maybe I wrote a couple paragraphs, but that's not as big of a deal as, you know, writing a novel. Like, what kind of creative win matters to you is the creative win that you need to celebrate.
Yeah, that's such a great point, because it's easy to look at what other people are doing and think, oh, they're accomplishing so much, or to just look at the big goals like publishing a novel or any of those big, huge things. And like the little things matter too. And you need to decide what makes the most difference to you and what has the most impact on your work and your life that you think is worth celebrating. And you'll even see it. You can find on social media people kind of tooting their own horns and saying, hey guys, I finished this and I did this. And they get such great response from the people in their community. So it's not really something that we need to be afraid of. Me in particular, I need to just get over it. I'm talking to myself here.
Hey, one step at a time. Maybe the next essay you write, you will allow them to tag you on your timeline.
Yes. Well, I think another problem that we run into when we're thinking about celebrating our creative wins is that so many people have trouble even setting aside the time to be creative and to pursue creativity, that once you start talking about celebrating that creativity, they're like, well, how am I going to justify spending time on that or money on that? Or like, that's not worth anything. So a lot of times I think it does come back to valuing your art and the things that you're doing enough to be like, no, I worked hard. Like, it's okay to celebrate, even if that celebration is something small.
Yeah. So one of my favorite ways to celebrate any creative accomplishment or any real accomplishment in life, period, is coffee and or chocolate. And this would be buying like fancy coffee and not just the drip coffee that I have at home every morning. What about yourself, Ashley? What kind of fun ways do you celebrate creative accomplishments?
So I wholeheartedly agree with coffee and chocolate. I don't think you can go wrong with that combination ever. But I also think you can do things like sort of lifting up your own creativity. So like if there's a book that you've been meaning to buy that you think might help you on the next step, or a class or a workshop you want to take, or like maybe buying more supplies if you are in one of those really hands-on creative fields and you want to upgrade your canvases, or you can tell that I never have to buy art supplies, so I don't know what to like fill in the blank. You want a new fancy paintbrush or whatever, you know, like making your creativity easier for yourself, or sort of spoiling yourself and splurging a little bit on something like that, I think would be kind of fun. Or, taking a creative retreat, like we have talked about a lot here. And we can link back to Jenny Moraitis's episode again in the show notes, but, creative retreats don't have to be fancy or expensive or in Miami. They can be at the coffee shop down the street, and you could just say like, no, I'm going to reward myself and I'm going to hire a babysitter for 3 hours and I am going to do whatever, you know, read a book or work on my creative projects or whatever you feel like doing. Just giving yourself that space, I think, is a huge gift.
Yes, I love what you just said about not having to make it a big deal. Like your creative retreat doesn't have to be some enormous weekend away that costs you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, because none of us really have that time and none of us really have that money just laying around. At least I know I don't. But it is possible to arrange for, you know, a relative or a close friend to be like, hey, can you just take my child for 2 hours so that I can put on real clothes and go to a coffee shop or to the library and have even just an hour or two of uninterrupted time to work on my craft. I think that is the biggest gift a lot of the time that we can give to creative people, especially yes. creative mothers.
Yeah. Yes. Creative mothers is like a whole nother, that's a whole nother podcast episode.
Yes, maybe that is a podcast episode, how you can support the women who create things in your life.
Yes.
I think even taking a break can be a huge reward. I know so often we are driven by production and making sure that we're always doing something that counts in some way, and whether that is housework or work or creative work. And I think sometimes after a big creative win, you just need to take a break and rest for a while. And that can be, you know, tuning out and reading a book that has absolutely nothing to do with your craft. It can be just for fun and you don't need to focus or you don't need to take notes. It could even be, you know, going for a walk or trying a creative project that's not normally in your wheelhouse. So if you are a painter, maybe the creative thing you do is you go and take some photos or something. Anything that's just not in pursuit of a goal, I think counts as a break.
Yeah, that is so true, that we are so driven by productivity, and sometimes we need to just step away from that and be like, nope, no goals here. Like, I hit my goal, and now I'm going to just back away from that achievement mindset for a little bit. And because it takes so much mental energy to always be thinking about something or working towards something, even if you're not working on it actually all the time, it's probably in the back of your head. At least it would be for me. And giving yourself a break from that is a fantastic way to celebrate.
Otherwise, we could do our favorite way of celebrating and tell people that we finished a creative project, which we've already discussed is not our strong suit. Are there any kind of creative ways you could tell someone that you have, I mean, celebrated a creative win?
So as soon as you said that, I pictured like all the Pinterest gender reveal parties. And I'm like, you could just invite a bunch of people over and like fill cupcakes with, I don't know, different colors of frosting to represent like how far you got writing your book, or like, I don't know. I'm just like, that's, my mind just went to Pinterest parties of utter ridiculousness. So I'm like, yeah, just invite people over for like a random party, and then they get there and they find out that they're celebrating that you took 20 minutes last week and worked on something that was important to you.
I like that.
They'd all be like, well, okay.
That's an excellent level of ridiculousness.
Maybe that takes some of the pressure off by being just a little bit goofy about it.
It does. Well, and I keep kind of going back to like non-traditional ways to celebrate, because, you know, buying a gift or buying a supply or something like that is really cool, but kind of expected. But maybe if you land an article in a magazine, you actually buy a couple of copies of that magazine and tear out your article and frame it and hang it on your wall. So it's something that you can look at and feel really proud about every time you see it when you're sitting there at your desk, wondering why the words won't come. You know, kind of being able to point back to that one time that they did and it felt really good might be even just helpful on your creative journey.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it could even remind you of, like, so often we think, like, why isn't this working? Why is this so hard? Maybe you look back at that magazine or whatever it is and think, oh, that was really hard too. Like, I had to work for that. That did not come as easily as I imagined it would. And so right now when I'm in the thick of it, it's still worth it. Because that magazine was worth it and this could be worth it too, as like a reminder to keep pushing through. I like that.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. Otherwise, I don't know any other ways to really celebrate creative wins. I'm sure there's some great ideas out there. So we'd love if you guys would share any way that you have celebrated a creative win. But I think for now, we should probably just talk about books we're reading, right, Ashley?
Yes, we probably should, because let's be real, if I am going to celebrate a creative win, I'm probably going to like shove my children at my husband and go sit in a quiet room with a book for like 8 hours.
Excellent. Excellent idea. So what have you been reading lately?
So my book this week is actually a reread, which is like controversial for me because I almost never reread books. But like we said in our episode on things that fill us up when life gets full, I was sick last week. Actually, I'm still a little bit sick, and I kind of just took life down to the bare bones. Like, my children are alive, my work is completed pretty much on time, like nothing else is getting done. And I didn't want to just lay around watching TV. I wanted to read, but my head was all foggy and I couldn't concentrate on anything. So I went back to one of my favorite books, which is Truest by Jackie Lee Summers. And this book, you guys, it is so, so good. It's young adult fiction and the themes make it feel like it's like a literary fiction adult novel. It talks about mental illness and faith and just all this like really in-depth stuff, and it wraps it up into the sweetest summer romance you have ever read in your life, and these characters just stick with you. I just love this book. It was a really great one to reread while I wasn't feeling well, but if I could read it again for the first time, I 100% would.
Oh, that is like the best review you can give any book. I love that.
Yeah. So even if you think you don't like young adult fiction, please read this one anyway.
Yeah. Well, I love young adult and I love literary fiction, and who doesn't love a good summer romance? So I am putting that on hold on the library right now.
Good. Oh, I hope you like it. I'm so excited to hear what you think of it if you read it. Yeah. So good.
I will let you know.
So what have you been reading?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned last week, ebooks are just what I'm reading right now. So I've been kind of checking things out as they're available at the library via like the digital library checkouts, because it's much easier than going to the library these days.
True.
I have to mention, too, that I live like 30 minutes away from my library. So it's a trek if I go.
That's so sad.
It is. It's kind of like one of the only really, really sad things about living in the middle of nowhere. As much as I love my little dead end road and my woods, it's really far from the library. So anyway, I read a book. It's actually a novel in translation. It's originally written in Greek. And I've never really set reading goals for myself, but if I was, it would probably be to read more literature in translation. And so I was really excited about this novel. It was kind of described as like a sweeping story of generations of women in this Greek family and how, you know, they all grew up and move away and their lives kind of bring them back to their home. And that just sounded really like warm and cozy to me. And the book is called The House by the River by Lena Manta. And it kind of felt more like a soap opera once I had dove in and was like 2/3 of the way through the book. And it was a rather long book as well. So by the time I got, you know, like 30% in, I felt pretty committed. But it was really kind of formulaic in the end. I feel like each of the five daughters who this book was about, like each had a section of the book. And each one of them like grew up and got married and went away to live their life and, you know, insert horrible tragedy here, and then she winds up back at home to heal. And it like over and over and over and over again. And the book very much like it had like an intro opening where it introduces all the characters and then just like cut off into one person's life. So like daughter number one followed her for 70 pages and then like stopped and moved to daughter two and followed her for 70 pages. And so by the time you got through like all five daughters, you kind of had forgotten what had happened to the first one. And then you just get thrown back into where they're all in the same place at the same time. So I don't know if a lot was lost in translation into English or if this just wasn't the book for me. But I definitely think this is one of those cases where like the book jacket and the actual contents did not match up.
Oh, that's too bad to hear. And it sounds like it wasn't just translation issues. It sounds like there was maybe like an overarching structural issue. Yeah. If you're forgetting about characters by the time you get towards the end of the book, that's not just a language problem. But that's really too bad to hear, because when you first started describing it, you kind of had me sold on it. I was like, oh, that sounds good.
I love sweeping generation stories about strong women in other countries. Like, I really do. Like, if that could be like a subgenre on Netflix, I would always watch that movie. But this one kind of fell flat. So I would not recommend it unless anyone really, really likes reading about strong Greek women. And there were lots of strong characters. But I really felt like the plot and kind of the overall wrapping up of the novel was a bit lacking. So if you have other things on your to-be-read pile, read those first.
And there are always other things in the to-be-read pile, aren't there?
I know. It's kind of an addiction.
So when you read ebooks, do you just pick and choose by what's available at the library, or do you try and go down your TBR list?
A little bit of both. It kind of depends on how desperate I am for a book. Our library doesn't have a ton of things available online. Like, I just looked and Truist is not available online, so I'm going to have to get that as a hardcover book. But they have, like, they have all the big names. So I'm sure they have like 100 e-copies of the Twilight series or, you know, insert wildly popular novel here. Yep. So some things you don't even have to wait for, like they have enough copies and it's an old enough like back title that you can just hop right on and check it out immediately. And so if I don't have a book to read at the moment, that's what I tend to do. So I just checked out one of Leanne Moriarty's books to read because it was available immediately. But otherwise, ooh, I'm on hold for a bunch of other things that I'm more excited about reading, mm-hmm, but it's going to take weeks, if not months, to get to me.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty similar to what I did when I rented ebooks from my library, which I don't do anymore because they switched users. So I used to be able to download it like right to my Kindle from Amazon, and now I have to like download a different app to my Kindle and go through that app, and it just sounds like too much work, so I just haven't done it.
Understand.
Yeah, but I do kind of miss, I mean, I still buy ebooks, so I still use my Kindle, but I sort of miss those days of just being able to be like, what's at the library? This is free. Woohoo.
Yes. Yes. So at some point I will get back to reading paper books, and then I'll have a whole stack of things that I'm pretty excited to read. But right now I just can't justify like buying more books when I have like literally a dozen plus sitting here that I haven't read yet.
Oh, I know the feeling. So hopefully you enjoy the Leanne Moriarty book more than you liked your pick for this week.
Yeah, I hope so too. So I'll tell you all about that probably next week.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, we hope in the meantime, everyone can get out and celebrate one of their creative wins.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If you'd like to help us bring this podcast to life each week, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/chasingcreative.
And if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.